Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones, and it's a pleasure to be with you. Today, we're going to dive into the topic of pilot training in Canada. We're going to talk about some of the challenges and opportunities and some of the programs available. We're going to focus in specifically on a partnership between two companies and how it affects the Canadian market and some of the unique offerings that they're bringing to training programs. To begin, though, in May 2018, CAE and KF Aerospace joined together to form Skyaline Canada. This was a 50-50 joint venture, and its main focus was on developing and delivering military pilot and aircraft training in Canada. Currently, CAE and KF Aerospace deliver all phases of pilot training to the Royal Canadian Air Force through the NATO Flying Training in Canada, NFTC program, which is managed by CAE, and the Contracted Flying Training and Support, CFTS program, managed by KF Aerospace. These programs will come to an end in the next few years, and the Government of Canada is looking to award a new contract to renew its existing aircrew training services through the Future Aircrew Training Program, or commonly known as FACT. In December 2018, Canada issued a list of qualified suppliers for this program. So this means there are a lot of opportunities, but it's also a very competitive space. And some of the companies that are going to be bidding on this will be Airbus Defence and Space, Babcock Canada Inc., Leonardo Canada, Lockheed Martin Canada Inc., and Skyaline Canada Limited Partnership. Today we have the opportunity to speak with Peter Fedek, Program Solution at Skyaline Canada, and he's going to tell us a little more about some of the challenges and the different training programs that lie in the future with Skyaline. Peter, welcome to Vanguard Radio.
Thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure to join you.
So to begin, Peter, can you tell us a little more about this joint venture with CAE and KF Aerospace? What has been some of the fruits of this collaboration?
Well, as you said, John, CAE and KF Aerospace are the incumbent providers of all phases of military pilot training in Canada, including as well a phase of the Air Combat System Operator course here under CFTS. It's a program where they come and do some air flight and navigation familiarization that we had been providing to them. So under all of that, we looked at the programs and said that we have the knowledge, we have the experience, and we have the credibility with the customer to do all of these things. And as FACT rolled out, we looked honestly at saying, what is the competitive profiles? You know, basically doing a black hat and a competitive team review. And we looked at it thinking, what would be the best way to go forward with this? And there was even an interesting part as we went around to a lot of different shows and meetings. Different organizations said, would actually say that, if you two joined together, that would be, that'd be a great thing to go. So our corporations, we have a long history together. Working together, we were both major aerospace companies in Canada. So we got together and discussed, and it didn't take long to realize this was the best way to go forward for Canada as far as getting the program, the best program for Canada, done by Canadians, and looking at what's the least risk for the government of Canada that we can provide forward, and that would be for us to go together to do that. And the way to do that was to create an entirely new entity, 50-50 controlled and partnership by the two corporations. So Skyaline itself is a new company. It is a standalone company that is 50-50 owned by the two with joint board governance and joint management throughout. So it's a real true collaboration going forward to give the best solution to Canada for the future.
Kind of sounds like that commercial. Is it where, like, when peanut butter meets chocolate, you've got the best of the both worlds? Is that a good way to put it?
Exactly, the best of the both worlds. With a little more of a graceful joining rather than the commercial where they slam into each other. But we definitely have found some excellent synergies. There's some the top leadership of both companies are really on board with it, and that flows down to everybody in the organizations that has found a real nice fit with each other to bring together some of our unique abilities that combine together to make a larger program that will be a fantastic solution.
How's it been received in the industry so far? I mean, both companies are fairly well known. What kind of feedback have you guys been getting?
Well, the feedback from other companies, of course, it is a monumental activity that we're going forward, but the end state is that we are the two truly Canadian organizations that are doing this with a truly Canadian solution. And as you look forward, the other industries look forward and you know, try to find that Canadian content, which is so valuable to the people of Canada and the government, is to have that Canadian content, the trade benefits within Canada, direct investment. So the other competitors who, of course, they don't tell me all of their secrets, which is understandable. But yeah, it's we have that Canadian solution and the direct content. And I think it's even surprising to some of the government organizations where a lot of the programs are designed to have foreign OEMs be forced to include Canadian content, and we have a surprising amount of direct Canadian content that we don't need to offset. We are Canadian corporations that do this in Canada. So that type of investment, to have that capability, that national ability that is here right in Canada, we don't have to import it. We've got this here. So that level of Canadian expertise that we possess, I would say a true threat to the other competitors, but also a real benefit to Canadians and the RCAF.
I see. What would you say are the top tier challenges right now in terms of training in Canada for some of these programs?
Top tier challenges? Well, like any program, the very important to taxpayers is the cost. How to run things in Canada. We have some unique environmental considerations that run cost or drive cost, the weather being one of those. We have to be able to fly, you know, down to minus 40 and up to plus 40 going along, and that can change quite rapidly, which drives a lot of infrastructure and aircraft requirements, and as well for personnel. But those are the big things going in. And one of the major challenges, and the government recognizes this, is timing. The NFTC program currently expires in 2023 with an option year to 2024. And the timeline for that to do engineering, transition planning, and infrastructure is a challenge that the government recognizes. So that's, for us, it's, of course, a challenge, but we are ready to face it. And with our existing programs running along, we're well situated to do that seamless transition for Canada.
Wow, that's great. So if Sky Align was selected for the FACT program, is that one of the capabilities, the planning and the process that you guys can bring to the table?
That's definitely the planning portion of it. The transition schedule and transition plan are key to the government and to us as well. We're currently invested in the success of the RCAF and the Canadian Armed Forces production of pilots. And a key part of FACT is being able to maintain existing training programs while standing up the entirely new program going forward. And we have that employee, technical, and infrastructure base right now. That's us running with that program. And the ability to seamlessly move between the two, we believe that we're poised with that. And like the RCAF, any corporation, your most valuable resource are the people that are in the program. And right now, under NFTC and CFTS, we have a true core capability, which are the trained, qualified, and professional people that work under these programs and every day are committed to the success of the pilot training program for the RCAF. So having these personnel that we could transition as well to the programs is a real core capability for us to maintain the production while moving forward.
Yeah, I hear that a lot with a lot of the different training programs that are going on, not just specific to these programs. And quite often I hear people, process and training, and then technology. I'd be curious, on the technology side, is there any game changers that are coming out of that are going to help to improve this process?
Technology, innovation, advancements in programs, and any of those efficiencies you can bring in, of course, are all part of this program. But there is a fine balance, and not only the technology that drives it, whether it's simulation, there's virtual reality, augmented reality, all of these things that come in that, you know, can speak to, efficiency, whether it's dollars or time, which tend to equal each other. But looking forward, there's also then the RCAF's core training requirements. They drive the requirement. It is their program in the end. You hear a lot about how simulation, is the key to the future, but there is a real requirement for pilots to experience that hands-on flying. There, a simulator, can be immersed in there. It can generate those initial or some of those ideas, but there is a true factor to flying the aircraft and going along and having those moments of, you can't just hit reset. You can't just freeze it. You are still moving at 300 miles an hour. What are you going to do? Those moments are key to things going on. So as technology comes along, I often say that there's simulators, but there's no such thing as a replicator. Yeah, you do have to bring that in. And what level that is, that's up to the RCAF. We, industry and other companies, that you can propose things moving forward, but there is a core amount of flying that needs to be done. There, many of the stories you'll hear say, well, airline pilots, they do all simulation and their first flight in the airplane is a revenue flight with passengers in the back. But they hired that person with 2,500 hours of flying in the bush somewhere with no simulator or flying combat missions in various war zones. So they learned all of those high risk situations and decision-making processes under very different circumstances. And the simulator with the airline was purely to prove, you did learn all of that. Here's how we do it and go forward. So there is that real key to how do you prepare an off the street pilot that's never been in an aircraft before, and three years later, they're flying a four engine C-17 on NVGs into an austere strip in some other continent with a full load of precious cargo in the back. So that's the critical key to a military pilot training program compared to perhaps an airline training program. Technology will be a key part. Don't get me wrong. For a student to be able to sit in their room on a virtual reality goggle set and, they're in their dorm room or, I don't care, sitting at the coffee shop, and they can look around and they're in that aircraft learning the views, learning the angles, learning where to look for the instruments. To be able to do that on your own time in free play mode is invaluable. But that is, of course, driving you to get into the aircraft and, make sure you can still look at that while you're upside down in formation or something like that, right?
Yeah, it sounds like some of these skills are forged under fire and there's, only experience will give you that. That's a great point for sure. Peter, you are the site manager for the Southport Training Facilities where KF Aerospace is conducting the pilot training for the CFTS program. Can you tell us a little bit more about the program and what KF Aerospace provides as part of this contract?
Well, I would gladly do that. We're very proud of the operation that we have running here. We're in our 14th year. We started this in August of 2005 when KF Aerospace, under the Allied Wings moniker, was awarded the CFTS contract. So now we're well into steady state. It's a mature program. But in any aviation world, the program changes. So looking at that, to modify the program, we do that with them because KF Aerospace does everything here for the RCF. This is a turnkey operation for the Royal Canadian Air Force in that the military presence here is comprised of approximately 51 Air Force pilots that are the advanced flight instructors on the helicopters and multi-engine aircraft, plus a very small three to four person admin staff. And that's basically what they do. They control the standards, control the program, and control the instruction, and do the air instruction. KF Aerospace does everything else for them, from arrival, the administrative in-processing, your rooms, meal cards, the flights for the students, the issuance of their laptops, delivery of ground and simulation instruction. KF Aerospace also has a cadre of flight instructors to do the primary flight training, phase one for the Air Force, that initial selection phase. We do that. We also have a program to do some of the phase two training to bolster the Air Force's production ability by an extra 10 students a year. We do that program here. We also do all facilities, maintenance, any infrastructure that we built that here, the hangars. We do feeding, housing, cleaning. We also have our maintenance organizations that do all of the aircraft maintenance and engineering under Transport Canada certification for the four fleets of aircraft, 39 aircraft total here. We do all of the maintenance and servicing for those, fueling, airfield maintenance, snow clearing, air traffic control. We do all of those services here for the RCAF so that the way it's meant to work is the Air Force focuses purely on the training standardization and the training programs, deliver that, and we take care of all of the other infrastructure assets and training management for them.
So can you share with us, what are some of the lessons or takeaways from the CFTS program that you think would be important to incorporate into the FACT program?
Part of the program and a takeaway that I have, and this is as well my Air Force background, 25 years in the RCAF as a tactical helicopter pilot, and I actually retired from the Air Force here as the commandant of the flight school. With that in mind, it's the relationship and that team focus to get the program moving forward. We didn't build this program here, or KF and Allied Wings, you know, didn't build this program here and then sell it to the Air Force going like that. We exist here because of the Air Force and the Government of Canada, and it's that true realization that we are here to support them, and you get to do that through understanding the culture, understanding the people and understanding the reasoning behind it and the relationships you then build among the staff of the Air Force and greater DND combined with our contract team, that we use that and build on that to make sure the program succeeds moving forward. Because any long-term contract, this is truly a marriage. We're here for 22 years total under this contract, looking for another 25 years. And it's a matter of establishing and maintaining that trust going along. And that is a true key part. And I really take that to heart here to make sure that the commandant of the school, the wing commander, and the RCF at large believes in what we're doing, trusts us in what we're doing, and we move forward together. So that I think is a real key takeaway, a learning point for anything going forward. And the government now is speaking of relational contracting in all future endeavors. And we have really been operating under that for the past 14 years. That's the only way you can get through these long-term complex contracts is through a good relationship.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Peter, it's pretty well known that there's a shortage of pilots, not only in Canada, but around the world. I'd be curious to get your take. What steps, what can we do to solve that problem?
Yeah, work harder. No, that's... it is, you know, there is a true... Even with Air Force, you talk about really that enterprise solution, strategic thinking about it. And right now, across the entire, you know, aviation sphere, if you will, like for the globe, there's a demand for pilots. And I think that the airlines and other industries are starting to realize that if you just go out and blankly hire out from all the schools, you know, there's the instructors are your experience, and the instructors are what's going to build your next cadre. But if you go because you have to maintain routes and maintain growth, and this even the Air Force looking at this as well, combine that, call them that industry where you have a customer that's demanding a service, whether it's a passenger going on a vacation or a soldier that needs to get to the war zone. To maintain that delivery, you have to keep your incubator running. You have to keep the training programs running. So you have to accept some short-term reduction or slowdown in growth. Not so much a slowdown in the level of activity now, but you have to stem your some of your growth plans, because if you hire all of the experience out of the schools and hire everybody from those areas, you will stop producing pilots, and 5 years from now, there won't be anyone to pull from. And that's where you have to have this, that enterprise approach from hiring, recruiting from a high school or recruiting from a school to the point of retirement in at whatever, well, age 60, where folks have to stop doing this this great job. But how do you plan that out between companies, between industries, between militaries, between countries? Because it doesn't just go from airline to airline. There's countries that poach other militaries' pilots very effectively. And but, you know, and it becomes that training game going back and forth. There's financial implications. But that's that long-term view of it. If you take away everything from the schools will stop. And then what do you do, right?
So I'm hearing here that they need to be a little more proactive, and obviously the value of investing in training and really getting that message out there. I mean, if there's a need, it's a great career, but people would also have to measure up and meet the standards.
That's exactly it. And reduction of standards and reduction of qualification levels is not, I don't like the trend that's going towards, where they're just reducing the entry standards for companies, relying very heavily on automation. Automation is great, but automation, there's an implied, you know, part of that you understand what the automation is doing. So the automation is doing you a favor. It does reduce your workload. But if you don't know what that workload is in the first place, that's what experience gets you. And to understand that when the automation fails, as you know, triple redundancy is, you know, it makes it less likely, but not completely impossible. Building that core experience is still required. And there are industries that are starting these relationships. Some countries are well in a mature stage where they have linkages with the militaries to say, okay, when somebody joins the Air Force, they're aligned with an airline's seniority number. And they say, yeah, when you hit your 20 years, you slide right over. There's some very novel industry ideas with that. There's airlines that have purchased flight schools. And so now they can at least internally have that strategic view towards their production levels and their training programs. And it's interesting that that's what air forces around the world do. They have their industry where they say, okay, when we recruit someone off the street, ideally they know what that person could be doing in 25 years to plan that out. That level of HR planning is hard in the services, but airlines are starting to do that now, where they look at these flight schools and they have programs to say, hey, you starting at that flight school, we will cover the costs of your training. And when you graduate, you're going to get this job with this commuter service here. Then you'll go into our entry airline and then you'll come on to mainline. And so airlines are starting to do that level of strategic planning individually. And it's truly coming along, but, you know, that'll be 5 to 10 years before you see the fruition of that. And they have to make sure they keep that going.
That is interesting. So you're literally grooming the candidate toward an end result and each step of the way. Would you say that's where the future of pilot training is going?
I do. I honestly believe that that enterprise approach, that true strategic look of, you know, of the street, off the street until retirement is where you've got to look, that retention of personnel. And you won't keep everybody. Somebody will do that for 10 years and decide they want to be an accountant or an electrician instead, who I've seen, or a doctor. There's always people with different things. There'll be people that maneuver between companies, but at least they're still in the industry going along. But that strategic intake to output is where it is. And, of course, the military and the Air Force has a unique part where, you know, there's only so many colonels and generals in the position. You know, those career captain flyers, there's not as many of those. And at a certain point, you hit in the military. The guys go, okay, well, for family stability reasons, they'll choose to go off to the industry, which is fine. Not everybody stays in the military for 30 years. I did 25, and that's there. Some do 15. And you just have to plan that out to have that curve going along and do that longer strategic planning, because, you know, a lot of times, you'll, whether it's for budgetary reasons, you know, there's sometimes some short-term financial impacts, and you look and you make a decision to say, hey, we're going to stop recruiting. I believe in the mid-90s when they wanted to do a force reduction, so they stopped recruiting and offered buyouts. I lived through that. I stayed in. But that bubble impacted the Air Force about 15 to 20 years later. We're just finishing that bubble going through. And so when you stop recruiting and offer buyouts, that wave of experience gap shows up right about the time you need to start increasing, which was 5 years ago. And so there's some decisions that get made now. It may look great for short-term financial impact, but it truly is a 20-year strategic game. And you got to look and say, yeah, hey, for the next couple of years, you know, hey, we may be 400 pilots too many, but let's just hang on, because I know in 5 years, we're going to be 100 short, just the way we go. And those are the waves that have to be looked at, rather than, and the airlines, you see it too, they all said, we got to go into furlough. Well, those people go find other careers or do something else and don't come back. So there's got to be that longer term look at it. But hey, you know, that's my view sitting here. There's high end financial looks, whether it's federal budgets to shareholder returns, whatever you want to call it. Unfortunately, the best laid plans will get scuttled sometimes.
Yeah, they most certainly can. We've had the pleasure of speaking with Peter Fedek, Program Solutions at SkyAlign. Peter, I want to thank you very much for coming on to Vanguard Radio today.
No, thank you very much for the opportunity. Always a pleasure to speak about not only our current programs here in Southport, Manitoba and Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, but also the future opportunities to continue supporting the Government of Canada with our exciting new venture of SkyAlign.
Definitely. Thanks very much, Peter.